So we left off yesterday. We were discussing the machlekes between Rashi and Tam, literally how to translate a word in the Chumash. Torah says, "Kiftach ishbor." Person opens up a bor, digs a bor. So what is chayav? The question is, what does that word mean? Literally, is there a shear? Is there a size? Is there a measurement to the depths of the bor? So Rashi says that stam bor is a sar tvachim. That the word bor has the connotation, has the definition of ten tvachim. And that is ultimately the source for the din that appears in the Mishnah in the fifth parable of the Kama, that if one digs a pit and an animal falls in and dies in a bore less than 10 tefachim, what is potter? Stam bore of a Torah is your tefachim. So Rabbi Natam says that that's not true. Rabbi Natam says, after giving us a whirlwind trip through Tanakh yesterday, Rabbi Natam showed you from Yosef and from Yirmiyahu, from other sources, that stam bore is much, much deeper than 10 tefachim. So where do we get the shear of 10 tefachim from? So Rabbi Natam said it was a combination of sources. On the one hand, the Torah speaks about a bor, which has the connotation of something very, very deep. On the other hand, the Torah also says, V'amei-si-alo. So V'amei-si-alo tones it down a little bit, that even if it's not so deep, but L'maisa killed the animal. On the other hand, if the Torah would have only said, V'amei-si-alo, I would have thought, there's no shear, there's no size whatsoever. So even the shallowest pit, two tvachim deep, would also be chayav. So comes the word bor and says, no, it's got to be some depth to it. When all the dust settles, according to Rabbi Natam, it's the combination of those two words, bor, which has a connotation of very, very deep, meisialo, which has a connotation of anything and everything, and you combine the two together, Chazal figured out that the Torah is really intending that the shear is actually ten tefachim. So we want to analyze for a moment how Rabbi Natam, you know, worked around with those two psukim. According to Rabbi Natam, if the Torah would have only said meisialo, I could have really made a case to say, you dug a pit, animal fell in, I don't care what size it is, you're chayav. One tefach, two tefach, nine tefach, wouldn't make any difference. So how do we understand that? How do we understand that havamina? So we mentioned the very end of the show yesterday that there's machlekes Rashi and the Rambam. At the end of the day, an animal falls into a nine tefach pit and dies. So what's our take exactly? What's a reaction to that phenomenon? The mice, it happens. Once in a blue moon, it happens. What's a reaction to that? So Rashi took the reaction of denial. Rashi says, it's not from the pit. Why the animal died? I don't know. Check with the medical examiner. Why it died? It had a heart attack. It didn't die from the pit. It just doesn't happen. That's not reality, says Rashi. If that's the case, that's just not reality, that the animal did not die from the pit, so the Rabbeinu Tam is very, very difficult to understand. Rabbeinu Tam is saying, if the Torah would have said, V'amei-si-alo, I would have thought, oh, Yechayev, even on the five tefach, but it didn't die from the pit. What's the Havamin Shema Havamina that you're going to be chayev? If the facts on the ground are, if the reality is, just plain and simple, animal doesn't die from less than 10 tefachim, how could one have even dreamt in one's wildest havamin that one would be chayev? So the answer is that Rabbeinu Tam probably did not hold like Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam probably held that the reason why ultimately a person is potter for a less than 10 tefach pit is not because it didn't die, but rather based on the way the Rambam presents that did, and that's why we didn't get a chance to see it inside yet. We just quoted it quickly at the end of the shiur at the back of the page of the 7th of the Rambam Kamos. So the Rambam writes, also tell, in the 7th of the Rambam comes, also tell, Gavobishus Arabim, if a person makes a mound of a pile of dirt in the middle of the street, the Nechnebabahemo Mesa, so here the animal's not falling into a pit that you dug, but rather you made a pit in a sense above ground, you made a hill that the animal now tripped off and fell off of. So if it's more than 10 tefachim, the same story, you caused the animal to die, Yechayev. But if it's less than 10 tefachim, Patra Mises Abahema. So once again, you're potter for the death of the animal. But if it got hurt, then you chayev to bay. That's boiling a zikin. Even if you made a very, very small mound, or you made a very, very small pit, because when it comes to the animal getting damaged, animal broke a leg on a five tefachim pit, then you're held responsible, because that's something you should have anticipated. But now the Rambam is finally explaining to us, why is it that I'm potter on Misa for less than 10 tefachim? Says the Rambam, v'ein ha-misa b'kol shehu mitzuya, because it's unlikely. Notice the Rambam did not say impossible. The Rambam says unlikely. V'areyu kvo ones, and it's as if something which is almost out of your control. So this is clearly not what Rashi is saying. according to Rashi, the reason why a less than 10 tefach pit is potter is not because it's an ones, it's because he didn't do anything, because his pit clearly was not the cause of death. According to the Rambam, it was very much the cause of death, but it was such an unlikely scenario that the Baal HaBor is not held responsible for that. So if you go down the root of the Rambam, then Rabbeinu Tam makes sense. Then Rabbeinu Tam Svara can be understood, that I would have thought, if the Torah would have just written Vamesi Elo, that the Torah is holding you responsible, even though it's onus, even though it's unlikely, even though it's far-fetched, but it happened. Whereas according to Rashi, there's no place even to begin with such a Hava Amina.
I mean, so one can say that, as a Svara, I mean, that a Kodro has to draw a line.
Okay, so you're touching already on something almost about this number, this magic number 10. Up until now, I've been looking at the magic number 10 almost like through the eyes of the veterinarian, through the eyes of the medical examiners, to try to see, is this realistic? Is it likely? Is it probable? Azriel's throwing out a whole nother svara here. Azriel's looking at this through the eyes almost like of shirin. It's almost like saying, why do you have to eat a kazayas matzah? What's wrong with the half a kazayas? We don't ask those kashas. I mean, that's it. So you're looking at this almost like a low plug, almost like a shir kach nemer alach. There's a shir of ten tefachim, and the shir may not necessarily correspond to an absolute physical reality on the ground. So you have to hold on to that till the Rashba for the next sugya. The Rashba is going to be the grand finale. This sugya and the next sugya really almost one sugya together. We're going to come back to that Rashba. But up until now, we're still looking at it through the eyes of the medical animal world. Okay, so we're going to have to come back. We're going to come back to that Rashi. We're going to see. So up to now, we've been spending a lot of time on a boar of Misa, the boar of Ten Tvachim, and we've been spending a little bit less time on the boar of Tess, because the boar of Tess is Pater for Misa, but of course it is Chayv and Ezekin. So let's just go back to the first of the Mamakomes for a minute, because we're going to have to reevaluate now a little bit more emphasis on the boar of Ezekin. Let's just take a look back at the way the sugya started. How do we get into this discussion? The Gemara started with the question, the first of the Ramakom was told the bor ma'nihu, what is the told of bor? Ilei ma'av yud v'told the test. The Gemara's Hav Amina was that a 10 tefachim deep bor for Misa is the av, and a 9 tefach is the told. So the Gemara says, lo test, see, lo you exceed it. It doesn't say either one. So by definition, to be an av, it has to be written in the pasuk. So the Gemara says, no, it says it. Halokasha. V'meisya lo am rachamana. V'kilu l'rabana, and you'd have the Misa test, as you could have the Misa lo avde. So the Gemara says, no, it does say 10 tefachim. Where does it say ten tefachim? In that phrase, again, according to Rashi, his way, according to Rabbeinu, his way. But now, we come to the second half of the sugya. He asks the Gemara, sof, ze av l'misa, ze av l'nezikin. Once you have a posuk that teaches me ten tefachim, whatever the posuk is, bor, mes, yellow, it's coming in, whatever you think the bokor for ten tefachim is, at the end of the day, a bor for nezikin, namely the less than ten tefachim bor, is an av also. And I want to know, what do those words mean? V'zeh avlan ezikin. The Gemara says it so flippantly, and then the Gemara goes down a whole different path to discover what the toldos are. What did that phrase mean? Zeh avlan misa v'zeh avlan ezikin. So I remember back in Rashi Dav Beis, Rashi tells us, to be an av, it has to be written in the Torah. So now I'm challenging the Gemara. Where does it say avlan ezikin in the Torah? Where does the Torah even talk about an animal getting hurt in a boar? The Torah speaks about an animal dying in a boar. So the boar Torah is not even talking about Nezikin. So how in the world did the Gemara know to call it Ze'avla Nezikin? So that's the question that all the Rishonim have to deal with. I think I'm not mistaken, about five different terutz of the Rishonim to this question. Where in the world did Chazal even discover the Ze'avla Nezikin? You know, we've been talking around the topic for the last 2 days. We've been saying, of course, less than 10 tefachim, mechayv nezikin, v'nonimili v'ishteit. So Rashi, on the spot, again, it's not printed out in the Mamakomos. The Rashi on the spot quotes one Lashon, he quotes actually two Lashonos about this, but he quotes one possibility, one Perush, to solve this problem, based on literally just a reading of the Pesukim. So we'll, I guess we should have had the Chumash in front of us, but we'll try to say it Baal Peh. Ki yiftach ish bor, o ki yichre ish bor v'lo chasenu, v'nafal shama shorah chamor. So the first pasuk says, you dig a pit, you open up a pit, and an animal falls in. Do we know yet what happened to this animal? Do we know yet the consequence of what happened? Not really. It says, v'nafal shama shorah, it fell in, to be determined. Next pasuk, Baal HaBor Yishalem, Kesef Yeshiv Levalov. We're still not quite sure what happened to the animal. Oh, but the very, very end, then we get inkling what happened. For Hames Yelo, the Torah says, and by the way, the dead animal, the carcass that's left, that goes to him. It's not even clear who the him is. Is the him the balabor, or the him the owner of the animal? That's a gemara later on. But one thing we know for certain, when we get to the last three words, then we realize, now we know what we've been talking about all along. So it's been a mystery the whole way. We have no idea what happened to the animal. And then all of a sudden, comes the Torah, brachavu at the end, Hames Yelo. Oh, by the way, we're talking about an animal that died. So that's the simple reading of the psukim. That the psukim, once we have those last three words of ACLO, then we realize that the whole parsha, those two psukim, are both talking about Misa Sabahema. If that's the case, then we're left with a question mark. So where's the animal? What's the case of the animal getting hurt? I'm searching Pastor Mishpatim, but I still didn't find the case of a boy that an animal got hurt and that didn't die. So comes Rashi and says, we read the psukim wrong. Let's reread the psukim. Ki yiftach ishbor, ki yichre ishbor, v'chosel v'nafol shor o chamor. Period. End of, not little, end of paragraph, end of story. V'nofol shama shor chamor. The Torah did not say, V'nofol shama shor chamor, umeis ha-shor v'chamor. It just says, V'nofol shama shor chamor. What does that mean? Anything. You tell me. The animal died, the animal broke a leg, the animal hurt its back, whatever damage happened, Baal ha-bor yishalem. It's almost like that for Baal ha-bor yishalem is going on, V'nofol shama shor chamor. Either possibly any possible scenario that caused a hefset to the animal is now included in Baal HaBoy Shalem. And then, by the way, kind of as an afterthought, V'Hames Yelo, at the end, the Torah says, oh, by the way, there are subcategories of Bor. There's Misa Sabahema, and then there's also Nezek, which was included in V'Nafal Shama Shor HaChamor, and there are differences in this 10 Tvachim and this 9 Tvachim, and there's a Shir, whole Chagadja. But says Rashi, the punchline was V'nafol shama shor chamor, that the pasuk is talking specifically about everything. It's talking about Misa, it's talking about Nezikin. And the boar, the Nezikin, is no less nichtav batar behedya than the boar for Misa, and therefore it qualifies as an half. So Rashi takes almost the simplest approach to discover that this phantom av. We know for a fact, ze av le Nezikin. Can't argue with that. The Gemara said it black and white, ze av le Nezikin. We just had a big question mark, menani mili. So Rashi says, it's nichta behedya. The phrase, the answer to that question is, Rashi, v'nafol shama shorachamar. Notwithstanding Rashi's pshat that it's quote-unquote written beferish, we're going to see there a Rishon who say, it's written, but in between the lines, it's not quite beferish. We know that in order to create a din deraisa, we need a source. The source could be many possible sources. It could either be something that's written explicitly in the Chumash, or it could be a drasha, or it could be a svara, lamali karas svari, or it could be halacha mashem sinai. There are a lot of different, quote-unquote, types of sources to get to the same conclusion. So we know where we have to get to. We have to get to the v'zeh av l'nezikin. So we press into our ways. This is our destination. V'zeh av l'nezikin. How are you going to get there? You got 15 routes. You go. You can take, for those who go into the city these days, you can take the lower level and sit in traffic for an hour. You can take the upper level and sit in traffic for an hour. There are a lot of ways. You have to get to the same place. So how do you get to Zav L'Nezikin? Rashi says, straight line. Answer is, V'nafo Shama Shor HaChamor.
Isn't Rashi and Daphne Nun a problem, though? Rashi and Daphne Nun says, Bort in the car is Lashon of Bort.
Very good.
You're modifying Bort at the beginning of the Pasuk.
Very good, excellent. So that's exactly what Rashi says. But the phrase, V'Hames Yelo, tells us that the word Bort at the beginning of the Pasuk is only referring to a Bor Shom Misa. That shear of Stam Bor Yudasara, Stam Bor Asara is only referring to the Bor of Misa. You're right, Nochanami. So it almost supports Rashi that V'nafal Shama Shor HaChamor refers to anything and everything. And by the way, Baal HaBor Yishalem V'Hames Yelo, that Bor that we just told you a minute ago was 10 Tvachim, that's only for Bor of Misa. So comes Tosfos, and it also has the same problem, the same challenge. We have to find the Pasuk. So where is the Pasuk? So comes Tosfos, it's the top of the back of the page, and Tosfos quotes a Yerushalmi. It's the second line, the back of the page. Uvrishalmi darish, the havale lemechtav ki yiftach ish, ki yichre ish bor. The Torah should have said, if a person opens up a bor, or if a person digs a bor, lamaksiv bor, why does it say, ki yiftach ish bor, ki yichre ish bor? Why does it say bor twice? It's the same subject. It seems to be superfluous. It says, Uvrishalmi adrasha, Elchad bor lemisa vechad bor lenezikin. Says Tosfos in the name of Yerushalmi, the extra word bor in the Torah, the seemingly extra word bor in the Torah, is there to teach me that there's a concept of a bor lenezikin. So Tosfos again was bothered with the same challenge as Rashi. We have to find the Pasuk. Whereas Rashi found the Pasuk, that's quote unquote explicit. Tosfos quotes the name of Yushami. It's not so explicit. It's a drasha, but it's there. In between the lines of the Tosha B'chsav, it is in fact there. How come Rashi didn't quote this Yushami? This drasha doesn't appear anywhere in the Gemara. The Bavli doesn't have such a drasha. So apparently Rashi understood that the Chachmi Bavli, you're going down the route of this Rishah, we're going down the route of this drasha. So Rashi went back to Chumash Rashi, Chumash before Chumash Rashi, went back to the Pesuch, and he said, I found it in Nafal Shama, but the Rishami finds it licked within the words, bor.
Isn't this Rishami a challenge to Rashi that Stam Bor is Yud?
You mean according to very good, excellent. I mean according, but Rashi would probably respond to you that the Rishami is going down its own route. That we don't really accept this Rishami. Nowhere in the Talmud Bavli is there any mention of this drasha. So maybe you're right. Maybe this machlokes Rashi or Minatam is actually an old machlokes. This goes back to the days of Amoraim already with the Stam Bor Yud. Right. Very good. Excellent. Very, very good. So there is a fascinating. I don't want to quote it. I don't mean a cute pshat in the sense of like cute disrespectful, but it is a cute understanding that appears in the Rashash and the Sugya. The Rashash says, Ki yiftach ishbor, ki yichre ishbor. So if you look in the Sefer Torah, look in the Chumash, so the word bor is not spelt the same way in both places. The first time it's written, it's spelt mole with a vav, beis vav resh. And the second time it's spelled beis resh, it's spelled choser. Why is that? So the Rashash says, it's a remez for this. The first bor is a full bor, it's a ten fucking bor. And the second bor is only a shtickle bor, it's a mitzvah bor, it's only nine tefachim. So the Rishash says, this is al derech the Gra. The Gra has these kinds of ramazim. So he says that he saw something, ain't this in a Gra somewhere. And I wasn't sure what source he was actually quoting, but it has its roots somewhere in the Gra, this kind of an idea that the word bor is spelled differently for different reasons. But I hope the common denominator between Rashi and Tosfos Yerushalmi is that it's got to be a posuk. Whether the posuk is explicit like Rashi, the posuk is in between the lines of a drasha like Tosfos and Yerushalmi, there has to be a posuk. So skip down to the Shit Mekubetzes, who also was bothered with the same kasha, and he quotes from the Tosfos HaRosh, another Rishonim, who are also facing the same challenge. We have to find the Pasuk, but they came up with a very, very creative Pasuk. So, Vezel Losh and Tosfei, Tosfos HaRosh, Zav HaRami Ivra, these different Baliya Tosfos, Pirish, Zav LeMisav, Zav LeNezikin. What's the source for this? It's a statement of Chazal, the sweeping statement that Av and Ezekiel is an Av. The Amrin of the Kaman, it's based on a sugya later on, the fifth parak. Lavi Kora Acha Kora Shechayev. The Kaman is in Derasha, in the fifth parak of Bava Kama. How do you know that if you have one person who starts the bor, and the second person who finishes the bor, how do you know that the second person is chayev? So the Gemara says, based on a pasuk, ki yiftach ish bor, or ki yichre ish bor. The Torah describes a person uncovering a pre-existing bor, and then it discusses a person who is digging a bor from scratch. Im ala psicha chayev, ala kriya lo kol shegein. If you're chayev for merely uncovering a pre-existing bor, one could have argued, I didn't make the bor, it was there already. You're still chayev. Kavachar, you go with your shovel, you go with your bulldozer, Rosh Hashanah, and you make a ditch in the middle of the street, of course you're going to be chayev. So if you may remember, that was the Einon Shem Hadin that we spent the first couple of days of Shia back in Chodesh Elul with. But the Bavli says a different answer. The Bavli says, Ima psicha chayev l'kir l'kosh again, l'hovi kora acha kora. That pasuk yichre is coming to teach me that if you put the final touches on the bor, even though the other guy started the bor, but you finished it up, so you and only you are chayev. What is that case of I put the final touches on the bor and only I am chayev? So the Gemara says, Im kora echad bor tisha tvachim, u'bachaveir vishlubili asara. So the first guy dug a 9 tefach pit, and the second guy puts that last tefach on. Chayev, he's chayev. Afa pisha rishon kora tisha, v'diz chayev ben ezikin. What's the chiddush Torah? Even though the first guy is also a shtickle responsible, the first guy is also negligible. After all, he dug a 9 tefach deep pit. So says the Tosfos HaRosh, the imlon is chayev ben ezikin. If the Torah wouldn't even recognize the concept of a 9 tefach pit, might come Ashbelon. What's the chiddush? The second guy's chayev. Halukar rishon k'dei chiyuv. The first guy did nothing. The first guy comes and taps down the soil a little bit, did nothing. Another guy comes and digs a 10 tefach pit. I need a pasuk tell me I'm chayev. Of course the second guy's chayev. The chiddush is that even though the first guy did a disaster, the first guy dug a 9 tefach pit, and any animal's going to come and break its leg, you're going to be chayev. So how come Ashbelon? No, that the second guy is chayev, notwithstanding. Amabotish, ksipikra. licked in this drasha, within this drasha of kairach kairah, within the extra word kiyichra, is the understanding, is the obvious assumption of the Torah that there exists the concept of a bor tisha. So this is a very, very creative mochar for the idea of a bor tisha. And again, it's going along the similar lines of Tosfos and the Rishabi that it has to be in the psukim. It's not explicitly in the psukim. We don't believe in Rashi's, the way Rashi split the pasuk up in Nafal Shama. It's in the psukim, but you have to look at the psukim through the eyes of drushas. So the Rishalmi had a drusha bor bor, and these Rishalim claim a different drusha, lavi korach akira. But somewhere in the Tosh Mechsav, you have to find some kind of a mochor for this idea of a bor tisha. So we've almost exhausted all the different types of makaras. We spoke about the pasuk explicitly of Rashi. We spoke about the drushas of the Yerushalmi of Tosfos and the Tosfos Rush. And now we come back to a fourth possibility, and that appears back in the Tosfos. We're back again to the sixth of the Mamakomos. So before Tosfos discovered the Yerushalmi, they were also challenged with the same problem of Rashi. We take a look at the sixth of the Mamakomos. It's two lines from the bottom. Umasik, in the middle of the line, two lines to the bottom, the Gemara concludes, Sov Sov Ze'av Lemis Ze'av Lenezikin, Perush. So those were with me last night at the Shiur in Shul, so we made a fuss of saying the word Perush. When Taisa says Perush, that means they're about to say something that's not so Pashut. If it's Pashut, you don't have to say the word Perush, it's just it's self-explanatory. So Tosa says, what do you mean Ze'av Lenezikin? Where? Vishtet? Umrani Mili? Perush. Cave and the boy Yud look Sibbehedya. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't say Vedavashem Moshalemo Tentvachim. It doesn't really say that. How did we ultimately get to that idea of Tentvachim? Elamafkira Misvara, maybe Vameis Yelo. It was derived from Vameis Yelo. Again, this is Tosa speaking, because Tosa's old Stambor is not Tentvachim. Tosa's old Stambor, Kosa Batur, Batanach is a 1,000 Tvachim. So where did we get to the magic number 10? At the end of the day, we thought about it long enough. Because since the Torah says Vameis Yelo, Diba'inan Kedei Lahamis, and we did some experiments, we threw a couple of animals into the pits, the Kimlu L'Rabban and the Chachamim realized the Hainu Bor Yud. At the end of the day, what's the real source for Bor Yud? The source is not really a pasuk, and the source is not even an explicit Halacha Moshem Sinai. It's a Kimlu L'Rabbanan, as we mentioned yesterday. The Chachamim figured out this is the Kavanas HaTorah. The Torah just dropped the hint and said, Vameis Yelo, V'kimlu L'Rabbanan, that it's ten tefachim. So that enters into the category of Halacha that we call a Svara. Says Tosfos, once we realize that ten tefachim itself is a Svara, Bor Tes, Nami Avi Svara. Bor Tes is the same Svara, Davi Avlin Ezekin. What's the Svara? The cave and Sheyesh Bokatei Lahazik. Since at the end of the day, the boar test has the ability to do Nezek, it's not all that different than a boar Yud that has the ability to kill. So when all the dust settles, the source for boar test is not a Pasuk explicitly like Rashi. It's not even a Drasha like Yerushalmi. It's not even a drasha like the Shidduch Kubetz, like the Zohar Rush. It's a poshut svara. The svara is, it is fundamentally not different than a bor yud. Bor yud can kill, therefore yechayev. Bor tes can damage, can injure, therefore yechayev for that as well. So when all the dust settles, we have four different sources in the Rishon, at least four, maybe the fifth probably. But we're going to do it. Four is enough for us for now. For our purposes, we've highlighted four different approaches, and conceptually the approaches are different. One is an explicit pasuk, that's Rashi. Two of them are drushas, that's the Rishalmi and the Tazer Rush. And one of them is a Pashat Asfar, that's the Shita themselves. Does this make any difference to Halacha? Does this impact on some of the details of Bor? So as we've already seen many, many times, in order to really understand the details of Halacha, it's important to understand where it comes from. The source is not just arbitrary. The source, more often than not, will indicate something about the nature of the Halacha and will also impact on how the details of the Halacha are going to play out. So there is a problem that now all the Rishonim raise in light of the multiple sources for Bor Tes. The Rishonim raise the following problem. There is a Gemara. If you take a look at the ninth in the Marmakamos, the Gemara and Daf Kav Chesam and Beis makes a sweeping statement about the halacha of the bor. V'kulad ani kar behen. Whenever we're dealing with the bor, says the Gemara, shor v'lo adam, chamor v'lo kelim. We have a rule that tells us that v'nafal shama shor. Torah doesn't say v'nafal shama. It says v'nafal shama shor. Shor comes to teach me v'lo adam that if a person falls into a pit and something happens to that person, the Bala Bor is Potter. Shor v'lo Adam. And the second gzeres hakos of a boar is chamor velo kelim. The word chamor is there to teach me this halacha that kelim, that you, vessels are excluded from damage of a pit. So the Mishnah says later on above a comment that even if an animal falls into a pit and it's carrying a load, and the load is some precious glass dishes, and the animal falls in, and the animal dies, and the dishes get broken. So bala boy shalem for the animal, but not for the dishes. That v'nafal shem chamor, shor v'chamor, chamor v'lo kelim. Now we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we quoted from a Baruch Be'er, does that mean that the person's not chayv in the day shemayim? Doesn't necessarily mean that. Maybe he is chayv in the day shemayim. Maybe he is called a mazik. He's not a chif tashlumen or the lomdus, but tachlis and beis din, they're not going to make him pay a penny for those dishes, because v'nafal shem shor chamor, chamor v'lo kelim. Shor v'lo adum, chamor v'lo kelim. Becomes the Gemara and qualifies that statement. V'hani mili, says the Gemara, back to the ninth and Rambam comes. When do we say shor v'lo adam? That's in ketola. That's vis-a-vis if a person got killed in the boar. Now normally, if my animal, let's say, kills a person, so I maybe have to pay kofar. There's a whole parsha of if my property kills somebody. So comes the Torah and says, you get a freebie from boar. If a person fell into the boar, shor v'lo adam, there is no chiyuv to pay for the death of a person in a boar. Again, we're not saying that the bala boar is going straight to Gan Eden for what he did, but in terms of tashlumin and beis and shalmata, we will not hold him responsible. Shor v'lo adam, says the Gemara, b'med devar b'murim, that's the drush of shor v'lo adam, that's vis-a-vis misas ha'adam. Aval in nezikin, adam chayav kenem p'turin. What if a person tripped in the boar, fell into the boar, broke his leg, and then all bets are off? Then the bala boar has to pay. So the gzeres hakos of bala boar, I'm sorry, the gzeres hakos of v'nafal shama shor v'lo adam, that gzeres hakos was only said vis-a-vis mises adam, wasn't said concerning nezek adam. So now, come to Rishonim, and now go back to the drawing board to pose a challenge. Oh, wait a second. How did Chazal figure this one out? It's a Stam Gemara, Ferish Gemara, it appears in many sugyas in Bava Kamma. How did Chazal get to this conclusion? How did they figure out this is true? On the one hand, we have a Pasha of Bor, and the terrorist screams at us at the Pasha of Bor, Shor v'lo adam, Shor v'lo adam, Shor v'lo adam, and we say, no, not exactly. That means if Mises ha'adam happens, but if Nezek ha'adam happens and all bets are off, then you are Chayev. How do we know that? How do we find all this? Everything's got to have found its roots back to the Parsha Bor. How do we know that phenomenon to be true? How did Chazal figure out that distinction? So the answer clearly is going to be related to what we're talking about. Namely, well, if we want to know the details of a Bor for Nezikin, we have to go back to the drawing board. What was the source of the Bor Nezikin? What was the source of Bor Nezikin? We have Rashi, we have Rishamis, and we have Tosda Rushes, and we have Tosdim. So we have to go through each one of those four sheets and understand, according to whatever you think the source for Bor Nezikin is, that's going to impact why you're chayv or why you're potter for Adam. So again, we know our destination. We know where we have to get to. We have two destinations we had to reach today. Destination number one was we needed a source. We know there's a bit of Bor test for Nezikin, and we're not sure how we got there. Four different routes to get to the same place. Now we have another destination. Our destination is we have to get to Bava Kamma Kav Ches. We must come to this conclusion because Chazal told us this, so this is the facts now. And we have to now reconstruct. We're going back in history to try to figure out how Chazal get to this conclusion. So the only way to figure out how we got to the conclusion that there's a split vis-a-vis a chiv of Adam between Misa and Ezekin, we have to understand the relationship between the Bor of Misa and the Bor of Ezekin, which is another way of saying, well, what's the source? Where did it come from? So hopefully Beth Shem on Friday we'll try to put all the pieces of this puzzle together to try to flesh out this entire picture, how we got to Bor and Ezekin in the first place, and how that's going to impact on some of the differences, la halacha, between Bor and Ezekin as it relates to Shor v'lo Adam. Beth Shem on Friday we'll try to put the final touch.